You must have heard the term COVID weary by now. Well, we're now in September 2021. That year, we will call 2020, where we all suffered. We had so many lockdowns that we don't need to go into it. We all know what happened. But I think now I've heard from so many people who are just COVID weary. They worked all the way through. They've had to work harder to retain clients. And it's really taken its toll. And people are, you know, struggling to get away, can't get away, had holidays cancelled. You know the story. So today I have the great pleasure of speaking to Michelle Carvel. And Michelle was recognised as one of the UK's top 100 inspirational business women by Small Business Britain. And in 2021, she was shortlisted a Digital Woman of the Year and also cited by Business Insider as a top 10 UK experts in social media. But what we're speaking today about is the preventative healthcare service, which she formed. And it's really all about the importance of making time for you. You're going to love this interview as much as I did. And let's hop over to the call now. Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Well, it's great to be here, Simon. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. Well, we've talked, as with most guests on this podcast, I always think, actually, we should have recorded the pre-podcast because we were talking about so many different things with great energy. I love your energy. But today we're going to be talking about the importance of making time for you. Now, we're in 2019, and we're in 2021, and it's in August, and so many people I've heard are just, they're COVID weary. They've worked, they haven't stopped because they couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't take a break, or even if they had taking a break, they were still working from home, and just everyone's kind of really getting worn down. So what's your take on this, and how can people change that?
I think that is so true. And I can say me included in that, Simon, because it is, isn't it? Because we've not been able to kind of have the normal stopping of it's a school holiday and everybody's going away or we're doing various things. People have just carried on. And I think we've carried on for probably the last 18 months because it's just been a very strange time. And I know I've spoken to a lot of my peers, my friends, clients who have just battled through. And I think that's what it's starting to feel like, a little bit of a battle through. Not many people have had that downtime. And of course, what happens when we don't give ourselves that space is we become stressed. We don't even realize we're stressed. But our bodies, our minds, our kind of souls, they need the rest. We need that time, that space to regenerate, rejuvenate, and replenish. And we're just not really, or we just haven't been really given ourselves the time to do that. So what I thought, you know, I could have talked about a lot of things with you, Simon, and we've already talked, as you said, in the pre-chat about some various aspects. But I'd like to talk about how we make time for ourselves, how we help ourselves manage stress, just every day, simple things that as business owners, as business people, as good humans, we can do to make life better for not only ourselves, but for everyone around us.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect. Yeah, and it's so needed right now. And I know there's a lot of people who are going to listen to this going, oh, it's fine. But you need to look at the signs. I always believe the universe will give you signs, or even your body will start giving you signs. Yeah. You know, you're starting to get headaches, or you'd, just the attitude to your partner or your kids, they're all signals that are saying you maybe need to stop and take some time out.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been doing so as part of the work that I do about in 2019, I set up a social enterprise called the Preventative Healthcare Service. And I did that because many years ago, I really got burnt out and I got stressed because I didn't listen to the signals. I didn't listen to the signs. I was a very ambitious advertising exec, burning the candle at both ends, as you can be in your early 20s. And I was getting those signs, but I just pushed through. And of course, what happened was that I pushed myself so hard that I had the inevitable kind of mental wobble. And that meant that I became quite anxious. All of a sudden, I couldn't get on the tube. Then it started to feel like, oh, I can't breathe on the tube. Then, it escalated very quickly into almost not being able to get out of the house, becoming quite agoraphobic and being fearful and anxious about going out. And, you know, like you said, anybody who's met me, they say, oh, you've got great energy, you're full of beans. And that is me. And that hadn't changed. But of course, this aspect of not listening to myself, I was just, you know, I became a different person. My body just couldn't cope. And so it kind of shut down. And what happened at that time was, as stressful and as awful as it was going through that, it was actually probably one of the biggest gifts for that to have happened to me at such a young age. Because to come out of that, I remember going eventually to the GP and they said, well, you know, here's the Prozac, here's the pills, you can take that. Or we are trialing a 6-week stress management program where you can come into the practice for an hour an evening over the 6 weeks, and we're going to teach you some basic things. And I thought, well, you know what, I'll give it a go. And I went on this program, and it was a simple program. It was teaching me about what stress was, how stress affected my health, the physical signs of stress, the warning signs, how the stress manifested in my body physically and physiologically. So what was happening? Why was I getting pins and needles? So once I started to understand the manifestations of stress, I felt more in control of stress. But then they taught basic things like good nutrition. And I was like, well, I'm a vegetarian. Of course, I have a good nutrition. But when I actually kept a food diary and looked at what I was eating, everything was very carb heavy, you know, toast in the morning, sandwich at lunchtime.
Actually, with veggies, you know, people think it's vegans, but you can get unhealthy veggies and vegans,
you absolutely can. And so when I looked at that, I was like, well, where are the things coming in here to balance my blood sugar? And now I understand how food impacts blood sugar and how blood sugar impacts the chemicals within my body, which of course lead to stress. I could see how that was created. They taught us basic things about how to breathe. I mean, how many people, I don't know if you've ever been taught to breathe, Simon. I don't know if you do yoga or you've ever took.
I have actually, yes. Proper diaphragmatic breaths. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So being taught how to breathe. And then, of course, physical exercise, which we were talking about earlier, about staying active, and sleep. Why sleep impacts. But of course, it's not one of each of these things in isolation. It's collectively looking at all of these aspects. And we know what happens when we become stressed. It all goes out of the window. We're not as concerned about the food that we eat. We're not as concerned about the amount of sleep that we get, or we can't sleep because we're so stressed and anxious. We probably don't go to the gym or go for that run or get out because we're feeling stressed and overwhelmed. And so rather than do something to boost and bust that out, we become absorbed within it. And so everything starts to become kind of counterproductive to managing stress. And
yeah.
So what I found over the years was, when I was talking to people more and more, and through all of my career, seeing stress in executives, seeing stress in my colleagues, and understanding the impact of this, I kept querying, well, why aren't people doing more to take simple steps in taking care of themselves? And that the realization came to that, because I think in our society, we've kind of got this mentality that rather than us being responsible for ourselves, we'll just go to the GP and say, can you sort this out? And we don't necessarily think that we can solve those problems ourselves. But of course, we can.
Absolutely. One of the things that always sticks in my mind, you know, when you're stressed, you don't breathe, you're almost hyperventilating. Yeah. And someone said, you know, we breathe properly when the stress is gone. So it's like, I've got to keep going. And then finally, like, oh, such a relief. But actually, when you notice the stress, why don't you then stop and breathe, which will then help you deal with the stress? It's such a simple thing. But it always, I've forgotten who said it, but that's a good idea. But you're right. I've written down in the notes, because I always mute the microphone because I you don't want to hear me typing, but as you're saying, I'm just making notes. And the one thing is the collective actions that we can take to help us. And it's true, it's not just about sleep. You've got to have the right diet, because they all impact. It's the domino effect, isn't it, really?
They do. And it's, you know, it's simple things like, are you drinking enough water? You know, are you having 8 glasses of water a day? And one of the things that I started to do very simply, and I always say to people who are feeling really stressed, you know, just watch what you're eating, watch how you're consuming. Are you going throughout the whole day just drinking coffee? Are you having any water? Are you then finishing the day and having 2 or 3 glasses of wine or a gin and tonic or whatever, and just not balancing it out with any water intake? And you will start to really stress the body out if it's simply not getting enough water. So taking water. And when I then started to explore with GP friends of mine and say, you know, how big a problem is stress for the NHS? How big a problem is stress? You know, how many people come into your surgeries with stress? Because we've seen the stats about mental health and anxiety. You know, 1 in 6 people report experiencing a common mental health problem, such as anxiety and depression, in any given week in a GP surgery. And 1 in 4 people in the UK will experience mental health problems every year. So the reality is it's impacting a huge proportion of society. And of course, if that's a mom or a dad, that's going to start to ripple out, isn't it? Because if they're not coping, then the family will feel the impact of that. And then that can have a knock-on effect. If indeed it's you serving your clients and you're stressed and you're not able to serve your clients in the way that you want, that can have a knock-on effect. And it can all start to become overwhelming and a challenge, and of course build on that stress. So it is about thinking, you know, I love that saying, you can't fill other people's cup from an empty teapot. And I do believe that we seem to have this issue, particularly in the UK, that, you know, oh, just push on, push through it, get through it, which of course inevitably is that kind of stiff upper lip, let's just get on with it. But I do think that we now need to give ourselves full permission to say, I actually need to really start taking care of myself so that I am better prepared to take care of others, whatever that looks like, whether that is looking at your diet, looking at whether or not you're breathing fully. You know, I was speaking to a friend the other day and she was like, I don't know what you mean when you see breathe down into my belly. You know, when I breathe, I'm breathing into my upper chest. And you could see her shoulders raising up towards her ears. Well, that's only using the top part of the lung capacity, which is actually aligned with when we are stressed. They call it a stress breath because it's the breath that we would use if we were hyperventilating. So in order to calm the parasympathetic system and calm the nervous system, we need to breathe deeply. And a simple thing, like when you're getting stressed or if somebody cuts in front of you in the car, rather than losing the plot, just literally thinking, you know what, count to 3 and take 3 deep breaths. Those simple practices throughout your day can have a profound effect on how you deal with things and how stress accumulates within the body. It's almost like a stress buster.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I wear a sports Garmin watch, and there's a bit on there where it gives you some breathing exercises. It's fantastic. Yes. You can do it for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. One of the things I learned is called the Buteyko method. It's a Russian guy. I used to suffer badly as asthma as a kid, and my boy has it. He's 20 and sort of grown out of it now. But when he was younger, he suffered from asthma very badly. And when you're asthmatic, you hyperventilate. And when you have an asthma attack or you have asthma, you know this. A lot of it is, it's quite a bit is psychosomatic as well, because it's kind of like, well, if I don't breathe, I'm going to die. So you just wind yourself up. But what this technique is actually when you're breathing, when you're breathing out, you're breathing out a carbon dioxide. And in fact, what you want to do is actually hold the breath.
Hold that.
One of the techniques is just breathe out normally and hold. So most people think breathe in and hold. No, it's actually breathe out and hold. And you build the carbon dioxide up in the body. And then After a while, you can, when you do it enough, it really, really helps the body. And you hold that carbon dioxide in and just then see how long you can hold it before you need to breathe in again. That makes a massive difference as well. So it's just loads of, but breathing, as you say, it, I mean, the breath of life, it is so important. It oxygenates your blood. Actually, if you do it properly, if you follow a guy called Wim Hof,
yes,
you can, what is this? It's you can alkaline your body. Yeah. Because we are an alkaline beings. Well, I think we have a pH level of 7.35 to be all technical. But you can help alkaline your body by breathing. It's phenomenal, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's the fundamental thing that, you know, if anybody is stressed, I say, learn to breathe. Learn to really breathe. You know, and they'll say, don't be ridiculous. And it's like, no, watch a baby breathing. You know, their belly rises when they breathe in and their belly contracts and dips and softens when they exhale. And most adults don't breathe in that way. We breathe in and the belly comes in and we breathe out and we drop the chest. Whereas, you know, we're not actually breathing effectively. So the number one way to manage stress within the body and to manage any situation, if you can manage your breath, you can manage life. You can manage any situation in that arises. I mean, when people say take a deep breath, there's a reason for that. You know, it really is take a deep breath and learn how to manage that breath. It is a profound shift in the chemicals in our brain, the chemicals in our body. As you say, it can have deeply healing and restorative properties when you really learn to harness the power of the breath. But for now, just learn how to breathe. Learn how to belly breathe. There are so many different YouTube videos, you know, out there that people can do. But number one to manage stress is seriously learn how to breathe.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to get a bit hippie for a moment, but I believe the universe will always give you signs when things aren't going wrong. I talk a lot about, certainly with my clients, about the chaos and order.
Yes.
And we create control, and we're never in control. We think we're in control, we're never in control, but control can bring about so much stress. So one of the questions I always ask is, what is your life telling you about you right now? Where are you holding on to it too tightly?
Yeah.
Because if you're stressed, if you think about it, who's creating that? Who's creating those deadlines? Who's saying it needs to be done this way? I know we work with clients and stuff like that. But you can either take it on board or not. And it's how you deal with it, how you view the world. And one of my clients, she just broke her glasses and there were so many different things going on. I said, what's your life telling you about you right now? She said, I know, I need to stop. That is what the message goes through. When there's too much chaos in your life, it's a signal that you need to change. You need to breathe properly. You need to do something. So watch for the signals. You know, and then you can take back a little bit of control and become, you know, get your life in order again. But breathing, yeah, it's so huge. It really is.
Yeah. And let's face it, you know, life is a challenge, right? So there are unexpected stressors like bereavement, divorce, you know, something, a trauma happening. But then there are the day-to-day managing the kids, money worries, you know, all sorts of the usual day-to-day little challenges, and it all builds up. And those warning signs of stress, you're so right, Simon, we have to listen to them. And we always know, you know, we always know what's going on, but we ignore them. And those warning signs aren't just about, oh, I feel stressed. You know, it's that sense of feeling a little bit out of control. It can be aches and pains. It can be grinding teeth, tension around the jaw. You know, when you wake up, you know, you've been clenching your jaw. It can be a lot of people take their stress to their gut. So there's a lot of gut issues, acid reflux indigestion kind of symptoms. I mean, the amount of people that are on acid reflux medications is increasing all the time because
and it's another sign, isn't it?
It's a huge sign of stress. Yeah. And so, you know, activities that increase aspects in the body, be aware of what causes your stress. You know, eating too much processed food will cause you stress. Being inactive for too long will cause stress. Too much caffeine will cause stress.
The body never lies. The body never lies. No. It will always tell you. If you're not in homeostasis, which is what the body always tries to battle to retain, but if something's going on, you know, it's a warning. Take heed. You know, don't be a if you're a man listening to this, don't want to tickle men. Oh, I don't need to go to the doctors. You know, it's fine. You know, no. If there's something seriously wrong, go and get it checked out.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, particularly for men, they do battle through, and that is why, you know, often it's the big crisis that happens, the heart attack, the collapse, the something that happens that is then the reassessment of, oh, hang on, you know, now I really need to reassess things. But we shouldn't really enable ourselves to build up to that. If we are taking little mini breaks every day from our routine, if we are listening to the body, making sure we get out into nature, you know, you don't have to become a crazy athlete. You don't have to do anything over the top. It can just be simple things like, I need a 20-minute walk a day. I need to get out in nature 3 times a week. I need to make sure that I'm drinking 8 glasses of water a day and not just pouring caffeine into the body. You know, I need to make sure I get to bed at a sensible hour and give myself time to chill out before I go to sleep. You know, I'm not just coming off a call at 11 o'clock, stressed out, and then trying to sleep because I've got an early start. That's not going to set you up for a good night's sleep.
And also switch your bloody phone off.
Switch your phone off.
Absolutely. An hour, 2 hours. I have my phone automatically goes into nighttime mode at 8 o'clock at night. So I get no notifications, nothing. I don't have notifications on there anyway. But it then goes up and it doesn't disturb. And I turn it off throughout the night. But I've noticed when I have been doing something and I'll be looking at the phone, scrolling through stuff, checking stuff out, I might sleep, but my dreams, I wake up exhausted, but my head's all over the place. There's no time to relax. So that's another really important thing to do.
It is.
Michelle, this is great advice from you. So I've got 3 more questions to ask you. I think I've only asked you one, actually. But tell me something that not many people know about you.
I suppose something that not many people know about me. So they know that I, you know, have written books around digital, sustainable marketing. I suppose not many people know that I'm also a trained yoga teacher, which is, I suppose, why I am so aligned with breathing and stress management. Because for me, learning yoga back all those years ago, 30 years ago, when I was in the height of my stress, that for me was a game changer. So not many people know I'm a yoga teacher.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Yeah, that's why you know so much about the breathing. Absolutely. Okay, so you're lying on your bed and it's your last day on earth, and everything you've written, everything recorded, this podcast, all that just disappeared. It's not here anymore. And you've got one piece of advice to leave the world. What would it be?
Oh, goodness me. One piece of advice to...
Most people's reaction.
You know what? It is, because, you know, I'm very opinionated and I've got lots of things that I'd like to say. But I suppose the very, very simple, is be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And I think that we're so hard on ourselves. And that can often mean that we're hard on others as well. You know, so when I say be kind, that also comes into tolerance of ourselves, tolerance with others, you know, gratitude. It all kind of entwines, really, that kindness. But I think kindness rules.
Absolutely. There's a country in Western, listen, when you said that, be kind, there's a country in Western singer, the name eludes me. That's my age for you. And is in the title of his song is, be humble and kind. I love that. I absolutely.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Really nice. So last question, where can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can find me in lots of places. I have a website, Michelle Carville.
I can just imagine people like, what are you doing there? Get out of my cupboard.
I'm all over the place. Yeah. Digitally. So michellecarville.com, you'll find out about my books, the work I do, sustainable marketing, the preventative healthcare service. That's all kind of in the breadth of michellecarvel.com. And then, yeah, if you Google me, you'll find various bits and pieces about the views and what I'm doing. And of course, on LinkedIn, if people want to connect with me there, it's just Michelle Carville.
Beautiful. Well, we'll put all the links on there anyway, but some people listen to this on Spotify or wherever else they find it, so they don't always have the links. But you are a total dynamo, an absolute superstar, just brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here, and thank you so much for having me, Simon.
It's been brilliant. So until next time, we'll have more guests coming up, and that's great. Speak to you soon. Take care. Bye.